Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Jerry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
Hey, good Monday. Welcome in. It is Dom time. A new explanation why we're seeing just a revolution here with Latinos moving to Trump, which in the end could be incredibly significant. And a story out today that says that Harris is the worst in a generation of Democrats beyond with union voters. That's how close Trump is, as we talked about last week. But first, what's the best explanation for Latinos moving to Trump? You know, you could talk about the economy, but then the counter is, well, how in the world can they like what Trump is saying about the border? Well, the polling indicates not only are they okay, they think a lot of that is the correct way to go. But here is Maria Hanjosi, who was on MSNBC, and here is a talking point you started to hear this weekend. It's kind of like Asians. Here's why Latinos are moving toward Trump.
Candidate.
Well, this is the one, it's supposed to be with Vice President Harris at 54%. It's a 14-point lead. Is that it? The bottom number? Yes, so there it is. So she has a 14-point lead, but it has been shrinking after each consecutive presidential election from 2016. Why is that? Why is the Democratic share of the Latino vote shrinking?
And what I said to you when we asked the question was, Latinos want to be white. They want to be with the cool kids. They want to be, I'm asking Latinos all the time, and they just say, well, ese Donald Trump es tan buen negociante. He's such a good businessman. It's like, no, he's not. He had bankruptcies. But they don't want to be identified with all of those other immigrants that Donald Trump speaks so badly of, including me as a Mexican immigrant. So they're like, we'd rather let's be with him. But those numbers, they could cost Kamala Harris the election.
Oh,
everything that I've been saying, that Latinos could push her over the top. Mm-hmm. These are the numbers that could also take her down.
So Latinos want to be whites. Now they're white adjacent. Asians are going to have to move over. They're going to be tears in the white adjacent. You know what? That is one of the most racist from the left all-time terms, white adjacent. Maybe by the next election, we won't be able to count Latinos anymore as minorities. They'll be treated like Asians. You see, when you're inconvenienced, like Asians are, to the other side, to the left, you get that white adjacent stuff. Well, you really can't count them as minorities that are succeeding. So here, they want to be white. They want to be seen as white. The age-old thing. How many times do they... Dan, I'll get to that. How many times do they play this with black conservatives? Now, we have Abel Maldonado, who's the former lieutenant governor of California, coming on because of all the stuff at the border. And I will play that for him, just that first part if we can play. We don't need the whole thing. And ask him if he feels white adjacent. Is that why he's coming on the Dom Giordano show? Well, you're white adjacent, sir. It's obvious. That's why you would do it. You want to be white. Always having to fool around in the most despicable terms to explain some things that might be simple there, that maybe they're getting the brunt of Bidenomics. They don't like Harris, who really does. And that may be why Trump has appeal, and they're giving it another look. All right, phone lines are 855-839-1210. This is Cut 4. All weekend I saw this, and I figured something out that the Inquirer and others really don't want to cover this story. I'm going to play you the sound of ESPN Plus, which I know there's a gazillion ESPN channels. Man, they got to be hard up when they're putting on the LaSalle and St. Louis women's field hockey game, and there's nobody transgendered involved. There'd be a story then. I can see them covering it. Well, Sal, my alma mater, which disgraced itself last October 7th, we'll see what they do this time, apparently doesn't have a field that can be used for women's field hockey. So they're playing the games at Temple. Now listen to this coverage. Listen to the sound. It's gunfire on the very street they're playing. Now, I don't know how many. I didn't look up the schedule. I bet they play 20 games. So if they have 10 home games, is anybody saying, you know what? I don't think you can play an outdoor sport at Temple unless you're going to have wall-to-wall guys with shotguns. And even then, they're not firing at you. It's drive-by fire. So on the very street they're playing, they have to evacuate and then not finish the game. And a question, if it's safe to play there, why didn't they come back and finish the game after the gunfire? When's the next game over at Temple? Would you let your daughter play field hockey at Temple? Sometimes they play at night. It doesn't matter. Here's how it sounded on ESPN Plus. Cut four.
Looks like players are running off the field. There were some loud noises, and it looks like players are evacuating the field right now.
Boy, great commentary from ESPN Plus there. These guys are the A team that was on this game. So, can you play an outdoor sport at Temple? Well, you know, that just happened. And it was only like 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon as this was going on. I would argue no. I wouldn't play an outdoor sport at Temple. And it's not necessarily they're going to fire on you. It's the randomness of it. Now, a couple of police that sent it to me said they think it was an AK-47 that was going off there. Now, you can imagine how many shots could be fired, where they go with these idiots firing at each other in broad daylight at Temple. So, Dan, is it unreasonable to say you can't play a field hockey game there?
No, it's not. And you can't play high school basketball or high school football because we saw what happened a couple years ago. I'm to the point now where if my kids wanted to be at one of these public events in parts of Philadelphia, I'd have to question whether or not it'd be safe.
Yeah. And again, LaSalle doesn't, it's not even Temple's team. LaSalle doesn't have their home field. Don't you think they ought to be looking for a different field?
Like something like this happens, are you as another program considering forfeiting games because you don't want to play on this field?
Well, I wouldn't forfeit them. No. I would demand that the team that Temple forfeits.
Yeah.
Because they have it unsafe at all. We can't say any of this. So we're going to send young women, LaSalle is, back to Temple because they don't want to make a ruckus over this. They hope it goes away. And they would tell me, you're just looking for it. You don't have to look that hard at Temple, AK-47, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, people screaming, get down now, as they come off the field. How about the league that sponsors this? Should they say, no, we can't be continuing, you're going to have to play another field? Don't you think they should say, look, we're going to go and play at a high school field? There's got to be a high school field where they can go play, right? That's safe. They don't want to do it because they don't want to point out what Temple really is.
I like talking solutions. What do you suggest, though, happens? Like, how do you fix this?
I say they go and play at a high school field. Temple's not safe. There is no solution.
This is the field hockey capital of the United States.
Is it?
This area. Yeah. There's a million field hockey fields around. Yeah. You don't have to play at Temple.
How do you know that?
Well, Dan, you mean a solution. I'm sorry, Henry. There's a lot of...
No, it's... Yeah. But two different
you mean the solution is at Temple. Well, there is no solution. Yeah. Can't do it there. That's the bottom line to me.
You just can't have events outdoors anymore?
Well, even if you had guys standing there with shotguns or whatever you want, if these idiots are firing at each other, they're not exactly firing at you with an AK-47, it's random.
Is it, though? It seems all these shootings are targeted. Could you at least feel some level of safety knowing that they're not coming after just random civilians?
Yeah, but you're caught in the middle of it. That's the point I'm making.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So I guess, I guess, though, you could say it was, I've been told it was a little bit down the block, not much. They should have continued the game. They're not firing at you.
Yeah.
Which is true. They're not firing it. And then he should have come back and played the game.
We won't go down this hole, but just a reminder, let's move him to the Navy Yard. I think that's the solution.
Oh, that's your favorite. Yeah, yeah. They could take the driverless vehicle there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
there's space there, Dom. It's what, like two ways in, two ways out. You can post up security. It's a perfect solution. There's stadiums right there. They don't even have to build their own stadiums. They can play in the link.
Well, I'll be following this. I have to look up when LaSalle plays there again and to see. They won't go and play at a high school field. That's what they ought to do. It's unsafe there. If Temple wants to play there, they should play there. Okay, 855-839-1210. Now, a lot dropped on Friday around the border, and I'm hoping J.D. Vance tomorrow night can really come up with a couple of nuggets. That's all that he needs on the border to talk about how bad it is. One of the problems with this just out today with illegal immigrants is insurance cost. The numbers are staggering. The federal government, and I think this is probably low, has released data showing more than 155,000 illegal immigrants have been convicted or faced charges for criminal traffic offenses as Americans' auto insurance bills rise rapidly. Now, some of that's due to Bidenomics, but some of it's due to this. In other words, you have people coming from countries where it seems to me often the traffic laws are only loosely enforced. There are often young men here driving drunk. And when you put the two things together, it's what we saw in Springfield, Ohio, and also in the town in Pennsylvania and a couple of other places. Reckless driving, wild driving, that's what you're seeing. But those statistics that dropped on Friday are startling. One other, we told you about this, ICE put them out. And over the weekend on national TV, a couple people were asked, why would ICE put these statistics out at this point? Here's Dan Scutchwell. Here's Representative Emmer saying, why would ICE release these statistics? Because technically they're part of the Biden administration. Cutchwell.
Another thing I want to get your comment on, this new ICE data that's just come out, talking about the amount of criminals that have crossed over into the border, murderers, rapists, sexual assault, all coming across the border, 13,000 convicted of homicide, 15,000 convicted of sexual assault, and we're talking about 425,000 of non-citizens that have been convicted of a crime. The Harris Walls campaign have been saying that this is just data over decades. What do you know about it?
Well, these are the only ones we know, right? There are others that we probably don't know because they've left that border wide open. And we've had people pouring over that border for 4 years, Lawrence. This is clearly a shot from inside the Border Patrol, inside of ICE, giving information because the Harris-Biden administration has been putting their lives at risk for 4 years. And you know that the company line is, hey, there's nothing to see here. It's all good. But in the rank and file, you got to believe that those men and women who are serving us, who have families, have had enough. So this information is just the tip of the iceberg. And I was telling you before we started, these guys, Harris and Wall and Biden, have been stonewalling every step of the way when Congress is trying to get this information. So I think it's pretty reliable. But now, where there's smoke, there's fire. We got to look.
Definitely fire. Yeah. And there's...
All right, so maybe these ICE people are doing the country a great service. So that I don't forget, Kamala Harris did go on the Steven Jackson show, former NBA player, I think two NBA players, and it allegedly this podcast has hundreds of thousands, if not a million people, the two black former NBA athletes. And the one guy, Steven Jackson, in the video we have, you can see him rolling his eyes as Kamala Harris tries to bond, trying to reach African-American men, principally. Here's how it sounded talking about Harris when she was growing up, either being driven by her father or getting her father's car.
an incredible family and incredible friends. My best friend from kindergarten is still one of my best friends.
That's crazy.
Right? Stacey Johnson.
Yeah, that's dope. I love it.
We used to go to the clubs and her mm-hmm. father, Seville. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, I didn't hear the Seville there. Was that the shorter cut? Yeah.
Let's see if I can find the full one.
We'll get you the full one. But I'm interested in this podcast because this is where she has a lot of work to do to see what she's trying to do with this. This is one of the few interviews, if you will, alone. She was asked about her economic plan, and she talked about growing up middle class, even here, in which is kind of a fun podcast. It's not Meet the Press or something. Okay. Side question today. We were looking on Friday. We've never done this before. Given the Eagles debacle playing in Florida, it was hot. And also the epicenter in the beginning of the hurricanes. By the way, a lot, and we'll talk to Michael Whatley, head of the RNC at 1:30 today.
So that just cut it short. Yeah. Here's what you're looking okay. for, John.
Yeah, that's dope. I love it.
We used to go to the clubs and hug mm-hmm. Father Seville.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
These guys are saying, oh man, let's get to the economic plan.
Did you hear the pork roast thing?
Yes. When Biden told her, I didn't quite understand it because I didn't hear the. Let's play it.
Yeah, here you go.
When Biden told her he was quitting, she marinated a pork roast.
Yeah, because that's what you do when you find out your boss is quitting, right?
Yeah.
Here's how that sounded.
Look, from that's the time that the president called. Stacey Johnson.
Yeah. I love it.
Speedy motion. And I was not sleeping so well.
Creepy.
And
the multimedia.
That one morning, I had a few hours sleep, and I like to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
I just got up. I was like, and so I just went out and got a pork roast and started marinating.
See, found them work. Go to your happy place.
Go to your happy place.
Yeah, the marinating pork roast. What is it with food and this group? Walls tomorrow night's probably going to come out with a pie or something and give it to the moderators. I would put it past Walls to have a camo hat on and come out and be chomping on something and say, yeah, that's right, I'm likable now.
How about some Doritos?
One of my guilty pleasures, especially when I'm on the road, are my Doritos.
Oh, what flavor?
Nacho. Old school, original. Come on.
Red bag.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. Got to have a napkin nearby.
Yeah.
My goodness. Yeah. All right, this is all authentic. And she might be actually doing this. She can't even fake. Hillary's better at faking it. I don't know any sports questions. That might be interesting. All right, 855-839-1210. So we're looking for something associated with Florida. Person, place, event, history. I'll take off the obvious, Disney. And I think I'm right. I didn't look this one up, but I think Ponce de Leon and the Fountain of Youth was in Florida, or at least allegedly was. In that area. So I want to take that off before anybody gets that. Dan, how about yours?
I'll take the better version of Disney off the board. How about Universal Studios Florida?
Well, okay.
Yeah.
I don't think they do as well, but yeah, they're good. Yeah, we've been there. Sure.
How about those Miami football Dolphins? A lot of history there, but a sad state that they're currently in that team.
Okay. Henry, how about yours?
Yeah, so I'm going to take the phenomenon known as Florida Man. It seems that every once in a while, or a lot in the news cycle, you see a headline, Florida man does something outrageous. That's because Florida has very wide open public record laws, unlike Pennsylvania. So as soon as a crime like that happens, it's pretty much open to the public, which gives a lot of journalists, you know, an in to write a headline grabbing story like that.
I never knew that. I thought Florida just was more bizarre. But
no,
you're probably right.
I'm sure there's a lot of bizarre things that go on in Pennsylvania. Just we don't know about it.
Yeah, Philadelphia alone. Okay, 855-839-1210. That's your side question today. We'll talk with the former Lieutenant Governor of California, who is Latino, I believe, at 1230 about immigration. But also, this idea, Latinos, finally, we should admit it. They want to be white, and Donald Trump is their way to show they're very white. 855-839-12. All right, Dom Giordano show. Sad to hear the passing of Dikembe Mutombo, former Sixers Mount Mutombo center. One of the all-time great commercials. I think we'll do a side question tomorrow around it because the accents. I've had people, when I taught at community college, Dan, I think one guy from Nigeria, I just could not penetrate the accents. I mean, I try to read lips. I try to do everything. It's still... and Mutombo had a little bit of... And Beat at times has a similar... accent that Joe Conklin does very well. I think he did Mutombo. So we might be doing accents tomorrow. Those that work really well and those that are difficult. Be ready for that. Side question today, Florida, though. Eagles yesterday. Ray Dininger here at 2 o'clock today. Haven't spoken with Ray in a while. It's already the watch to fire Nick Sirianni is underway, given yesterday how bad this looked. I mean, they were missing guys, without a doubt. He's here at 2, and we're going to talk to the former Lieutenant Governor of California at 12:30 about all the immigration news, border news that came out. But over the weekend, J.D. Vance handled this well, I think. He was going to go to Permanente Brothers in Pittsburgh, and it's unclear whether or not they knew he was coming or they're biased, because this is the place where Kamala Harris ousted people a while back on tour of Pittsburgh and put actors in there pretending to be people eating at the restaurant. So Vance still went forward, paid for a nice bill of buying stuff there and a tip, and then talked about no tax on tips. Harris, or at least her people on Twitter, piled on, even though J.D. Vance was trying, at least publicly, to say it was just a mix-up so that people are not threatening the business or boycotting the business. The Harris people on Twitter said, no, 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 they didn't want him there. You know, small thing, but look at the way Vance handled it versus the Harris people. Who's divisive here? He was also over at our great friend Jim Worthington's place on Saturday. And he took questions from the media there in front of an audience of 1,500. WHYY says the Inquirer reporter, when identified, had trouble being heard because of the jeers. I can imagine.
I love
and
that.
And the awesome question is a tell where they're going. They don't want to talk about why we should deport all these people that are here illegally. They want to center in on you can't do it. How would you do that? And Vance's answer, he talked about local law enforcement. Now, local law enforcement in some places is certainly not going to cooperate. In others, they definitely would. And he talked about an incremental approach. We're not going to get 20 million people out of here. That's not the point. It's about turning it around the other way. It's about incrementalism. And I hope Trump speaks about this more. Takes his time, you know, rather than the rambling at rallies or whatever. Just a few talking points on this by Trump, drilling down, taking some time on it. Refute what the other side is saying with this. You can't just say we're going to deport them and that's it. They're going to continue to hammer away at how to try to chip some people away to say you're never going to do this. You'll be pulling kids away from their parents and all this stuff. So I hope in tomorrow night's debate, Vance continues this. I'm looking at some of the betting odds, and yes, they predict Walls will say weird. I predict he can't go 15 minutes without saying, mind your own damn business, Walls. I mean, preposterous, given he's the one that puts the government into everything. I know it's hard to take. But you have to calmly drill down on this, not move off the point, even if bells are ringing and they're telling you time is up. Apparently, there will not be fact checks tomorrow night, which is interesting. So 855-839-1210, you get on board. All right, let's go to Mike in Westchester. Side question today. Florida, something associated with Florida. Hey, Mike, good afternoon. What do you have today?
Hey, Dom, good afternoon. So I thought with the trans culture and trans culture being constantly pushed down our throat, something came to mind was fictitious Dolphins kicker Ray Finkel, that we know later transitioned to Lois Einhorn.
Right.
Ace Ventura. Ace Ventura. I love it.
No, that, the wisdom of that, I don't know that that's accurate, but okay. All right. Okay.
Ace Ventura, Pet Detective.
Though. Yeah, okay. All right, that's, I'll have to brush up on that. All right, 855-839-1210. You get on board. Coming up, Lieutenant Governor of California. Want to talk with him about California and the border. This ice dump on Friday was tremendous. Just the sheer volume of whom we're letting across the border. Now, Republicans, including Trump, have to just read the statistics. And then, who is it? It was probably Vance, I think, that talked about the sheer number of murders. What kind of basketball arena they would fill up. The 425,000 people, that would be four Michigan football games. Take your time with this stuff. Make people see it. It's a brave thing by the ICE people to do this. All right, we're going to talk with Abel Maldonado, former Lieutenant Governor of California, and I'll ask him, too, about Trump and Latinos in this argument. These Latinos, they just want to be white. It's like the white-adjacent Asians. That's why Latinos are going toward Trump. I think it's more than just the economy, but the economy's a big part of it. 855-839-1210.
Why is the Democratic share of the Latino vote shrinking?
And what I said to you when we asked the question was, Latinos want to be white. They want to be with the cool kids. They want to be, I'm asking Latinos all the time, and they just say, well, ese Donald Trump es tan buen negociante. He's such a good businessman. It's like, no, he's not. He had bankruptcies. But they don't want to be identified with all of those other immigrants that Donald Trump speaks so badly of, including me as a Mexican immigrant. So they're like, we'd rather let's be with him.
All right, Dom Giordano show. Now, this is very similar to the Asians are white adjacent. Joining us is Abel Maldonado, former Lieutenant Governor of California, the epicenter of a lot of the border crisis, without a doubt. He joins us here on Talk Radio 1210. Lieutenant Governor, welcome to Philadelphia. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, it's my honor to be on your show, and thank you so much for having me.
Well, we just played one of the analysts over the weekend, and I've seen this in a few places, their explanation why Latinos, in startling numbers, really, versus the usual, even back to Biden 2020, are moving toward President Trump and away from Harris. What are your thoughts on that? It seems to be they're trying to be something they're not.
Well, you know, Dom, obviously, the Democrats will do anything that they can right now to try to retract those numbers. President Ronald Reagan said it best, Latinos are Republicans, they just don't know it. And he said that a long time ago. And, you know, the formula of the Democrat Party, Dom, for the Hispanic community has not been a winning one. Let me just give you a little snapshot of what they've done here in California with the Hispanic community. They go, first of all, they start with their message of, you know, we're for the vulnerable, we're for the poor, we're for you, vote for us. And they'll tell them, you know what, we're going to give you a little car seat, we're going to give you some Similac if you have a baby, we're going to give you some cheese, we're going to give you a voucher for transportation, we're going to give you, but you got to keep that bad job, you got to keep that lower end job that you have in order for us to keep giving you. That's been the mantra in California, Dom. So the question is, the Hispanic community finally woken up and says, we don't want any of that. We want to be free. We want a better job. We want a good education. We want to be safe at home. And they're finally figuring it out that that's the Republican Party, that's Donald J. Trump that's offering you that. Because the Democrats say they're for the poor. But what they fail to tell people, Dom, is that they will keep you poor. They will keep you poor for the rest of your life. That's what they do. It's what they've done in California. And I'm speaking from the heart because I've had a front row seat to Kamala Harris in California. She has been a liberal's liberal. And all I can tell you is that for you to be more liberal than Bernie Sanders,
says a lot.
Yeah, it, sure,
if Bernie
it does.
Sanders is,
yeah.
Lieutenant
Governor, let me ask you, do you think it's true? Now, the commentator there was Mexican-American. We often see the most visible to me, you know, you would know better being in elective office in California, are Cuban-Americans because of where they're coming from that fit family, business, freedom. Do you think this is true across the board with Latinos? Or are there some groups that are more knowing, to the Ronald Reagan quote, that they are Republicans?
You know, I think it's been a battle. The Republican Party hasn't done a good job, Dom, of getting the message out to Latinos. President Donald Trump has done a better job. But let me tell you what the old Republican Party used to do. They would have a mariachi show up and they'd serve tacos and think that the Hispanic community was going to just gravitate to them. Absolutely not. You know, that's the old message. Donald Trump has made a different message. Donald Trump is, when I was in office, your groceries were lower, your rent was lower, you could afford a mortgage, you can afford a car payment, and you were safe in your home. So for the first time in my life, Dom, I'm 58 years old, and we have an opportunity to vote for two economies, for two directions. We can go Donald Trump's direction, we've lived under it, or we can go the Kamala Harris direction, we've lived under it. So it's an easy decision for Latinos in America. They want Donald Trump back in office. They want to feed their family. They want to dress their family. They want to have that little extra dollar on Sunday to go maybe have a dinner somewhere. Today, they don't have any of that, Dom. Kamala Harris and Joe Biden have destroyed the economy for Latinos, and they want change. This is a change election. Kamala Harris is continuity.
You left office, I should have mentioned this for listeners, as lieutenant governor the same day that Kamala Harris became the attorney general. You were lieutenant governor with the Terminator. So Harris, I think, has done a skillful job, because when you have nothing and you can make it, with the help of the media, appear to be vaguely something about how tough she was as attorney general, particularly on cartels and the border. You were actually there just getting out of office. What did you see?
Actually, Dom, I was there. I was in the state Senate for 6 years.
Okay.
So I had a front row seat to Kamala Harris when she was a DA and attorney general and U.S. senator. And, Dom, let's just be very, very blunt about this. Kamala Harris has never cared about the border. She just doesn't care about the border. And when she says she's a prosecutor or she's the top cop as attorney general, people, she doesn't add, and her campaign doesn't add, she was a prosecutor from San Francisco. And when you're a prosecutor from San Francisco, you're a totally complete prosecutor. If you're from Texas prosecutor or from, you know, the outskirts of Pennsylvania prosecutor, she just doesn't care, Dom. She's never cared. So this going to the border last week was just to check the box off. That's all she does. And this notion of not talking to the press, that is vintage California, Dom. Kamala Harris has done that her whole life. Don't talk to the press. Don't take questions from the press. Actually, it gets better. In California, you send an email to a reporter and you say, what's your question? And then I will respond via email. Well, that works in California, but that does not work in swing states. And that's her problem. She hasn't figured it out yet. And I believe that soon they're going to let her loose, because they're going to know they're losing, and it's going to get worse for them before it gets better. Because how could you want to be president of the biggest, you know, economy of the world and not take a question for a reporter? Hell, people that run for school board go to forums. They answer every question. People
Absolutely.
That run for mosquito boards answer questions. Now you want to be the president? You don't want to answer a question?
Wait a minute. You guys have a mosquito board in California? Do you have mosquito boards? That job? That's a good job.
Absolutely. It probably pays 50, 60, 70 grand in California. What are you talking about, Dom? I mean, come on.
Abel, if I might ask, too, because you're so in tune with all that's going on here. I'm a former teacher, so the issue of school choice, and Trump talked about it again the other day, I particularly think with Black and Latino parents, and maybe Latino a bit more, that should be a game changer. What should Republicans do around that issue? What are they not doing, I guess?
I think President Trump has made it very clear. That's the most important thing, that he is for school choice. He is for reforming education. He doesn't like the Department of Education because what they've done to our schools and to our children. And I think Latinos have finally figured out, you know, the teachers' unions here in California, I'm not going to speak for Philadelphia or Pennsylvania because I'm not there, but in California, their biggest black eye is that they protect bad teachers. You have a bad teacher and they just move them to another school district. Well, guess what school district they send them to? They send them to Latino school districts because they know Latinos are hard workers and they're not going to complain and so forth. So they just dump them there. And guess who gets hurt? Latino children. So guess who's waking up all of a sudden saying, wait a minute, why are you dumping bad teachers in my district? My kids deserve a good education as well. And there's only one person that's pointed it out, Donald J. Trump. He's been honest. He's not a politician. He's a business guy. And, you know, yes, he was president for 4 years, but I still don't consider him a politician because he doesn't act like a politician. He tells it how it is. He's up front. Whether you like it or not, he'll tell you what his feelings are. And he wants to make this country better, not only for Americans, but for everybody. And that's why the Latinos are coming out in droves in support. They've said enough. I'm going to give you a quick snapshot. I was at a butcher shop the other day, Dom, where it's a Latino supermarket. And this lady comes up to me and she says, are you Mr. Maldonado? I said, yes, ma'am. She says, I'm happy you're voting for Trump and I'm happy you're working for Trump. And I said, why would you say that? Of course, my brain went into, you're not going to support him. Why would you say that? She said, you see that man right there, that butcher? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, under Trump, I used to buy 3 pounds of meat. Under Kamala, I buy $10 worth of meat and I can't feed my family.
Yeah, exactly.
And that said it all to me, Don. That said it all to me why President Donald J. Trump is strong with minority people in America. He understands them, he feels their pain, and he's going to change America.
Hey, we want to win. We need Abel Maldonado. My producer and I are just giving a high five here. We didn't know that much about you until now. We need you on TV. We need you all over the place. Come on.
Dom, I got to tell you something. I'm not doing this for any other reason than to save my country. And to be very sincere with you, Dom, my vote doesn't count. And it bothers me every single day because California is blue. It will be blue, and it will be blue tomorrow. So if I can get the message of who Kamala Harris is to people's states where their vote really matters, I'm going to do it, and that's what I've been doing every single day.
Well, we want to hear from you again. We really, really enjoyed talking with you today, Abel. Thank you.
Thank you, Dom. We'll be in touch.
All right. So, you know, they'll pull back the curtain, Dan and I saying, well, you know, this guy's former lieutenant governor, Terminator, knows Harris a little bit. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, he was great. A lot of color in his story.
A lot of color. Yeah, yes.
He's a really
exactly.
Good guy. Yeah.
So why are Latinos? Why are union members? There's no doubt. We had that was one of the gets of the last couple months, getting Bill Hamilton on. I even gave him a shout out on Inside Story, the Teamster guy. They're moving toward Trump. Again, I'm a realist, though. Not just putting on rose-colored glasses here. Trump needs to get these people in the suburbs right here where we are. I think they're kind of undecided at this point. And you can holler at them all that you want. You can get mad. I only have one goal. Get them over the finish line to our side. All right, phone lines are 855-839-1210. Give me your reaction to that. So Latinos now want to be white adjacent also. That's why they're moving toward Trump. That's always the argument. Hey, cap off the NFL Week 4 slate with a chance for a big W on FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, America's number one sportsbook. You'll get started with $200 in bonus bets guaranteed when you place that first $5 bet on tonight's game. Geno Smith over passing yards, guys on fire. DK Metcalf, anytime touchdown. All right, Henry, what's your surefire tonight? We go to you for this. Lot riding on it. Give me one.
Tyler Huntley over in passing yards.
Ooh, I like it.
Who the heck is Tyler Huntley?
He is
former Pro Bowler.
Yeah, starting quarterback for the Dolphins tonight.
Oh, my. What pro bowl?
He's a guy that filled in for Lamar Jackson on the Ravens. Remember? Everyone else was like either sick, injured, or opted out of the game.
How's he a pro bowl?
Because everyone opted out or got sick or whatever. So he ended up being in the
game. You know what? That's a scandal beyond belief.
I don't believe in America. They just went down the list a couple.
How many will we have to go down before I have my shot at the pro bowl, even though not playing and throwing 40 yards? Okay. Just visit. That's with Tyler Huntley, pro bowler. The guy shouldn't put that on his resume.
You watched, Dom. Henry's right.
Okay. All right. Over yards tonight, you're saying. All right.
Yes.
You betting on that?
I will, yes.
Okay.
I'll probably throw in a Tyreek Hill over 100 yards and a touchdown.
How about Waddle?
Yeah, why not?
He's not doing as much.
Yeah, because he has Skylar Thompson.
Yeah, Skylar Thompson was throwing the ball. I trust
now he's got a pro bowler, Dom.
Oh, my God. Just visit FanDuel.com/Dom to make every moment more of this season. That's why I don't like fantasy football. Ro and I are just riding with the same team. We're just letting it go. We won 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah, how's your fantasy going?
I think we won 2 weeks in a row.
Look at you, Dom. Congratulations.
Oh, yeah. Completely idiotically. I don't even know.
You have Waddle, don't you?
Yeah, that's... Yes, I think we do.
Yeah, that's why you know
I'm talking him down. So visit FanDuel.com. Take Henry's advice on this. /Dom. FanDuel.com/Dom. FanDuel Sportsbook. Official partner of 1210 WPHT. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. You have to be 21 plus, present in Pennsylvania. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, 1-800-GAMBLER. All right, Dom Gio Dano's show. So President Trump is in Valdosta, Georgia. Even though Joe Biden's not going there, he said he was told he'd be disruptive, I'm sure, if he went there. And Kamala Harris, no place to be found. So this is an interesting dynamic. It's so bad what's happened there. And the relief does not appear to be urgent like we are with, Ukraine. But it's not just Georgia, it's North Carolina, which in the end, I don't think is in doubt. And this weekend, most people coming back to make the point that we're seeing more and more signs that Trump is very solid in Pennsylvania. Trafalgar, who called it in 2016, they have it now. Trump, if election held today, likely voters, 47.5, Harris, 45.3. So this is all within the range of the poll not being accurate, certainly. It's going to be closer than that when we get to Election Day. And in the end, I think this will go to form, and Pennsylvania is going to decide. So Linda Kearns, who you heard on with Dawn today, is persistent, and I appreciate that. I'm going to be doing a Zoom call with volunteers on Wednesday night, just trying to stoke them up. And she is great because she was very particular in what she wants to tell volunteers versus just the usual vote for Trump stuff that's out there. So Pennsylvania, again, will be the determinant. Hard to see anything else that's going to happen that will change that. All right, upcoming, though, as we get ready tomorrow night for the VP debate, many people over the weekend saying, thank God, Emhoff and Tim Walz are redefining what it means to be masculine.
Oh,
I'm looking to see out there if there's anybody.
Walz, really?
Yeah. Man or woman that were, you know, the one impregnated the nanny. So there's that. Is that this was with Jen Psaki mainly. Why are they doing this? We'll explain. But what credibility is here that says this is masculinity? Let's move toward Tim Walz. 855-839.
Every time you enter a room, you have to enter like Richard Simmons.
Yes, yes.
Waving both hands.
Yes, and screaming, mind your own damn business. How you doing? Mind your own damn business, Henry. Get out of my way. 855-839-1210.
Dom Giordano. Weekdays 9 till noon. On Talk Radio 1210. WPHT.